the start of the 80 Years' War, Dutch Calvinists seized 19 Catholic priests and monks in the town of Horkum. That story and their fate coming up on Catholic History Trek.
God bless America.
God love you. I want these to be my first words of greeting to you. They will be the concluding words on each broadcast.
I am not the Catholic candidate for president. I am the Democratic Party's candidate for president.
Annuncio vobis, gaudium magnum, habemus papam.
You've embarked on a Catholic history trek.
The introduction of Christianity in the Netherlands dates back to Roman times, but its penetration was minimal. This would begin to change at the end of the 7th century and the first half of the 8th century, thanks to Christian missionaries, primarily the English Benedictine saints Willibrord and Boniface. Moving ahead to the late 14th century, the Netherlands would become home to the Devotio Moderna movement. The Dutch priest Gerrit Groot, who founded the Brethren of Common Life, is considered the father of this movement, which emphasized the inner transformation of oneself to Christ, as opposed to simply racing through a large number of prayers with no devotion. The most prominent member of this Devotio Moderna movement was undoubtedly the German-born priest Thomas a Kempis, who is credited for writing The Imitation of Christ, which is perhaps the most influential book in Western Christianity outside of the Bible. This Devotio Moderna reform movement called Catholics to a deeper faith life, where the sacraments and religious devotion would accompany an inner conversion. But a century and a half later, a different reform movement would sweep through the Netherlands, which would seek to destroy the church, her sacraments, and her religious devotions. In the first half of the 16th century, Swiss Protestants Ulrich Zwingli, Heinrich Bullig, and John Calvin created and promoted their reformed faith. And thanks to the invention of the printing press a century earlier, they were able to widely disseminate their new heresy through pamphlets, books, and catechisms. This new religion reached the Netherlands by the 1540s, where it rapidly grew, and joined Switzerland, parts of Western Germany, and Scotland as hotbeds of what would be called Calvinism. Throughout much of Europe, Protestantism spread by its appropriation for political gain as much as for genuine theological reasons, and the adoption of Calvinism was no exception, as it had been successful battles against Lutherans, which gave the Calvinists access to the Netherlands, and it would be political calls for independence, which would help foster hatred for all things Catholic. At the time Calvinism and other Protestant movements were growing, Charles V reigned as both Holy Roman Emperor and ruler of the Habsburg dynasty. He controlled a massive empire, which stretched across most of Europe, including modern-day Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, Austria, Hungary, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, and Spain, not to mention Spain's numerous holdings in the New World. But worn down by poor health and years of fighting Ottoman invasions, Protestant insurgents, and the French, Charles V abdicated his position. He split his empire between his brother Ferdinand, who became the new Holy Roman Emperor, and his son Philip II, who inherited his Spanish domains, including the Spanish Netherlands. With so much on his plate, Charles had tolerated the Calvinist reform heresy in the Netherlands, but his devoutly Catholic son Philip removed his father's concessions for religious freedom and worked to stamp out the Protestant footholds from his empire. Philip II also joined the Holy League, which would famously defeat the Ottoman fleet at the Battle of Lepanto in 1571. And while we often look favorably at Lepanto, which finally brought a significant victory for Christians against the expansion of Mohammedan aggression and piracy throughout the Mediterranean Sea, this victory came at a cost. Philip had raised high taxes to fund the Spanish fleet at Lepanto. These taxes, coupled with general inflation and his intolerance towards heretics, led to unrest in the Spanish Netherlands. This underlying anti-Spanish sentiment was the kindling, and rampant anti-Catholic preaching was the spark, which ignited the Beeldenstorm in 1566. It was an iconoclast movement carried out by Dutch Calvinists which ripped through the Netherlands. Mob violence erupted, breaking into churches and destroying whatever looked valuable or precious. Altars and windows were smashed, statues were torn down, shrines and artwork were burned, often with local governments, either openly or covertly, supporting this orgy of anti-Christian rage and destruction. During the Beeldenstorm, the church was able, in some cases, to negotiate with these Protestant terrorists to save things like relics and Eucharistic tabernacles from desecration. Not long after these Calvinists rampaged through the Netherlands, William of York led a military insurrection against the Spanish government, initiating the 80 Years' War. William of Orange aligned himself with the Waterhusen, Dutch for sea beggars, but far from beggars, they were a confederation of Calvinist Dutch nobles, who amassed ships and fancied themselves as pirates, raiding and pillaging Catholic Spain. One of these symbols, worn by some of these so-called beggars, was a half-moon medal bearing the inscription, "Rather Turkish than Papist," and "In spite of the Mass." "Rather Turkish than Papist" was a reference to the Ottoman Turks. These Calvinists, who were likely dismayed by the Christian victory at Lepanto, would rather be conquered by the anti-Christian Mohammedans than remain loyal to Jesus and his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The line, "in spite of the Mass," was the rejection of the Catholic Mass, and, by association, a rejection of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, which is represented at every Mass. The memory of these Husen lives on today with the Husen Penning, which is a gold medal named in honor of their rebellion against Christianity. This medal is awarded annually to leftist human rights activists. In April of 1572, these sea beggars claimed a significant milestone by conquering the unguarded port city of Brielle. While taking an undefended port would hardly rank as a great military achievement, it was significant in that it provided the rebellion a foothold on Dutch soil against the Spanish Empire. Calvinist military victories spread from there, and by June, many cities and towns in the Netherlands either fell to the Husen and William of Orange or defected to their side. One of these towns was Horkum. At Horkum, these militant Calvinists captured 15 Catholic priests and religious, who they imprisoned and tortured. The group included 9 Franciscans, 2 Franciscan lay brothers, an Augustinian, and 3 local priests. The Waterhusen then transferred them from Horkum to Brielle, exhibiting these chained Catholics along the way as some sort of freak show, charging money for onlookers to gawk at the Papists. By July, these 15 prisoners reached Brielle, and to their company were added 4 more Catholic priests, including a Dominican who had hastened to Horkum to administer the sacraments to the 15, only to be seized himself. It's said a few of these imprisoned priests were not exactly the most exemplary examples of the priestly vocation, having been disobedient to their religious orders, neglectful of their duties, and with conduct unbefitting a priest. The Calvinists strung up these 19 Catholics in a barn, subjecting them to cruel tortures and mutilations. They demanded that they renounce the Pope as the visible head of the Church on earth, and renounce the belief in the real presence of Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Most Holy Eucharist. But these Catholics, even the lax ones, held firm in the one true faith. William of Orange apparently sent a letter to the Husen asking for their release, but this was ignored, and the tortures continued until the 19 were martyred by hanging. Following the Calvinist takeover of the Netherlands, the Catholic Church was subject to severe restrictions and was without a territorial bishop for several centuries. And while she was not wiped out completely, some remnant elements of the church adopted the Dutch spirit of rejecting Rome. In 1702, the Dutch Archbishop of Utrecht, Petrus Code, adopted the Jansenist heresy, which was sort of a Calvinist Catholicism, and created the schismatic Old Catholic Church of Netherlands. And in the 20th century, it was the revolutionary Dutch hierarchy who issued the infamous Dutch Catechism of 1966 and began distributing communion in the hand, disobeying Pope Paul VI's order to stop this Eucharistic abuse. According to various polling, this spirit of rejecting Christ and his church has seemingly progressed unabated in the Netherlands, which generally ranks at the bottom of Western European nations when measuring the percent of Christian populations. But 19 Dutch Catholics who did not lose their faith were the martyrs of Horkum, who were beatified in 1675 and canonized in 1865. many miracles have been attributed to their intercession, with the site of their martyrdom being the destination for many pilgrimages and processions. And we hope you will make Catholic History Trek a destination for your podcast listening. You can subscribe to keep up with all the latest episodes, and feel free to share these with anybody who you think would appreciate them. And if you feel so inclined, you can make a donation to Catholic History Trek. Our content is a labor of love, and it's all free, so any donations would help us upgrade our freebie equipment and help us justify to our wives that the time committed is justified. We don't expect to get rich and quit our day jobs or anything, but if you do feel like donating, you can find us on PayPal at CatholicHistoryTrek@gmail.com. And if you see Kevin's name as he set up the PayPal account, you'll know you're at the right spot. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Catholic History Trek. You can reach us at CatholicHistoryTrek@gmail.com.